home of the Columbus Blue Jackets. Sports Radio 97.1 The Fan.
Find the trailer shot. Score!
Listening to The Inside Edge with Jody Shelley and Bob McElligan. This is your inside perspective on the NHL, players, the Blue Jackets, and more.
Brought to you by Nationwide, AEP, and Ohio Health. March with us.
Here's former Jacket Jody Shelley and the voice of the Jackets, Bob McElligan.
Welcome to the Inside Edge. Bob McElligott and Jody Shelley with you. Blue Jackets getting set for another game tomorrow night when they take on the Detroit Red Wings at Nationwide Arena. Blue Jackets coming off back-to-back losses over the weekend at home. And Jody, those were two different kinds of losses. Let's go back last Friday night. The Pittsburgh Penguins come to town. A good rivalry has developed between the Blue Jackets and the Penguins over the course of the last couple of years. It was a packed building. It was a great atmosphere. The Blue Jackets, they were in the game all the way. They lose it, almost tied it in the third period, but they lose it 3-2, the final score. So that was somewhat, it's not a feel-good game because you didn't win, but they were in it. It was a good competitive contest all the way through. Then you come back a day and a half later, Sunday afternoon, take on the Tampa Bay Lightning. And the Lightning, you know, they took advantage of the breaks that they got, and they took a 1-0 lead. Well, the Blue Jackets had a goal waved off in that game, but they had a 1-0 lead. Turn the puck over. Dalton Prout with a bad play turns the puck over. They get a second goal with 11 minutes left in the third and then put two shorthanded goals on top of it. And that one looks uglier on the scoreboard than it way should have been. 4-0 was the final. So two different games there, but same result, losing both, but one you're in and one you're kind of in.
Yeah, and you know what? I think the tests are there. We talked about the Detroit game, the last Detroit game, and how at the end, the Red Wings poured it on, and, you know, John Tortorella has a team with no pressure right now. They're not in the playoffs. They're not in the race. Every play is not going to cost the team a playoff position. There's a lot of relaxed playing, but when you get in that last part of that game against the Red Wings and they're pushing and they score two quick ones, now you're only down by one and Atkinson missed that empty net, those are the manufactured pressure points that Tortorella is looking for and his coaching staff. And you can evaluate a lot of things, but you've got to really take a look at these guys in this situation. And I go to the Tampa game. It's a 3 o'clock start. And I know as a player, 3 o'clock is different. You know that. You've been in broadcasting in this league for a while in the minor leagues where we played a lot of afternoon games. And you almost sit back when you're not playing. And I know as a player how you feel. You want to be the guy to grab it, or you're like, oh, I hope these guys are with me, or I hope this guy takes this game, or something has to happen because 3 o'clock starts tough. Love the way they started the game. The first period, the Blue Jackets came out, and they were physical in their own building, and it was, you know, Tampa responded. They were fine with that, and it set up for an exciting game. The game was lost in the third period for the Blue Jackets with a couple turnovers, and really, when you're playing against teams like the Tampa Bay Lightning, who have Stanley Cup playoff finals experience, they will outweight you. They will stick with their game plan. They took away every middle, part of the middle of the ice. They didn't change things as far as the way they supported the puck in the defensive zone. It was stingy down in the offensive zone for the Blue Jackets. And they got impatient, and that Dalton Prout play for sure. And then from there, the shorthanded goal. I mean, things like that don't happen to great teams. They just don't happen to teams that are in the playoff hunt. And you won't see Chicago give up a shorthanded goal or a turnover in front of their goaltender. Those are things that are happening right now that are being evaluated. It's not just being swept under the rug. And the game before that with the Flyers, with the Pittsburgh Penguins, I just see the Flyers on TV here. I mean, those are fun games to be in for the players. They're jacked up. I don't know, and Torts mentioned this too, some of these players have never seen the building this way. And that's when you know, that's when you're looking at these guys and figuring out what they got. And he thought some guys were nervous. So evaluation is going on in practice, on the ice, off the ice, and in those crucial situations. And every game, now you've got Detroit again. They're a different animal this week than they were last week. Things have even tightened up more for that team in the Eastern Conference race. So you know what? It's good. And it's sad to say, maybe not sad, it's not exciting to say that that's what we're getting jacked up for, but get fired up. This is something that will carry over into the offseason and into next year's regular season because this management staff, the veteran players on the team, and the coaching staff will make sure that what they're learning now is marked down and carried through into the game one next year.
The biggest disappointment, I guess is the word to use, for the Blue Jackets in that game on Sunday turns out to be they lose Dalton Prout for a game. He gets suspended for a game because he came up and he hit Nikita Kucherov, punched him in the side of the head while Kucherov was locked up with Nick Foligno, didn't see the shot coming from afar. And we talked about the fact that he made the unfortunate turnover that led to the second goal, for sure. But John Tortorella said the other day, he said, this guy's been playing great, and it's too bad that happened to him, but he feels that he will bounce back. Now, that's a vote of confidence because earlier in the year, Dalton Prout was scratched for a number of games because he was making mistakes. He was making bad decisions on a consistent basis. He found himself out of the lineup and in the press box. But he struggled, spent a lot of time in the penalty box in that game on Sunday, and now he has to sit out the game tomorrow night.
Yeah, and he's a guy, if you remember last year, really found his confidence about two-thirds, maybe three-quarters of the way through the season, where he wasn't thinking. Dalton Prout was reacting to the plays. It was just he was in a good spot, and as a player, that's exactly where you want to be. You don't want to micromanage yourself, and you don't want to be micromanaged. He is there now. He's back there now, and you said he's been he's scratched by Todd Richards. He was scratched by John Tortorella this year. He had to go through some things, and it seems like he has to do that, you know, from time to time, which is, listen, that's going to happen, especially when you're on a losing team. But he got what he deserved. I mean, he went in and blindsided a skilled player and took him out of the game. And, you know, he's really lucky he didn't get two games. I mean, he got one game because it was a comparable with Lucic. I forget who Lucic hit blindsided. But it was a play where it was an unsuspecting player. And that's exactly what Dalton Prout did. Lucic got one, and he got one. He sits it. I saw him today. I actually congratulated him on his first suspension in the National Hockey League, and he had a little chuckle too. But what are you going to say? He took it like a man, and he'll be ready to skate hard tomorrow with the guys who aren't playing.
And the real tough thing about it for him is, was his birthday. It was his 26th birthday. I used to
want to remember.
Yeah, a long, long time ago, when I was doing baseball, I was with a team where the manager, he would take guys that were like the bench players or the utility players. He always started them on their birthdays because he said your biorhythms are up on your birthday.
I love that.
And you know what's funny? He would put these are guys that would sit for like 6 days.
Right.
And even when they were in a game, they'd be 0-2. They would do basically nothing. He put him in on their birthday. Like, I'd come in and look at the lineup, and I'd go, where's the Ross? Oh, okay, it's his birthday. He's going to bat six.
Okay.
The guy would have, like, two or three hits in a game and make three defensive plays. It was amazing how it worked out. Didn't work that way for Dalton the other day. I feel bad for him.
Oh, he lost over $5,000. Think about the party he could have had on his birthday.
Right. Yeah, usually people are giving you things on your birthday, not taking it all away from you.
No, he gave it back to the, I think it's a player emergency fund. So...
Okay, so how many? You congratulated him on his first suspension. How many does he have to go to catch you?
too many. You know, I used to make it a point, and I remember thinking, you know, I want people to think that I'm, or opposition to think that I've got a little bit of a screw loose because, you know, and I didn't calculate some of my suspensions, but I probably had, I mean, I had some dumb ones. I probably had 6 or 7. I don't even want to know the total on that.
What's the dumbest one you ever had? Well, now, this is you self-evaluating.
It's a toss-up, Bob. Yeah. New York City, and I thought this was a good team play. Now, think about this. New York City, Madison Square Gardens, Ray Whitney is getting he's in right in front of the bench, and Ronald Petrovicki is he's got him pinned down. So I reach over the bench, and I'm on the bench. I'm not on the ice, and I pull Ronald off of our captain, Ray Whitney, and I hear Dave King, that – is the dumbest thing I've ever seen a player do. And I'm like, I'm thinking, I'm getting smaller and smaller every second I hear his voice. I'm like, was that really that bad? Anyways, I got kicked out of the game, suspended for that. And the other one was, the other dumbest one. Lockout, well, no, it wasn't. It was before the lockout. They were implemented a new rule on checking from behind. So NHL comes in, Brendan Shanahan comes into Philadelphia, shows the video. Like, shows, you can't do this. It's black and white. And I'm leaving the video room, and I'm walking out next to Coach Laviolette, it happens, and I'm like, well, they're going to make an example out of some idiot with that rule, aren't they? He's like, oh, there's no question. The first guy that does it is going to get just thrown the book at them. So, who is it? Me in a preseason game, Daryl Boyce I'm playing down low in the defensive zone. Darryl Boyce is a quick player, so I'm playing defense. I push him a little too hard. He goes into the boards, crumbles. Mr. Shelley, 10 games, 5 exhibition, 5. It was just nuts.
So you turned out to be the poster child before it was all said and done.
Every one of them has a great story, though. I won't tell you more, but one I called a line brawl, but no one else jumped. I was the only guy on the ice on my team who jumped and participated in the line brawl. That's a lonely feeling.
That's a tight tight team right there.
That's when I knew we were going
nowhere. Who was that with?
Philadelphia. I called the line brawl, and everyone was like, yeah. So at the whistle, there's only one set of gloves on the ice, and
what was it?
It was a lonely.
What was
skate.
The discussion after that? Oh, were you serious, Jody?
Darryl Powell goes, I didn't know you were serious.
Yeah, well, now you know. Thanks, boys.
Yeah,
appreciate
thanks.
That
Three
a lot.
Games. Bye-bye.
All right, the Blue Jackets getting set to play tomorrow night against Detroit. Coming up a little bit later, we're going to talk with Mickey Redmond, who is the color analyst for Fox Sports Detroit. He'll tell us about the Red Wings and the situation they're in, which is getting more and more grave by the day. And coming up next, we're going to talk about some of the new players that the Blue Jackets called up today from the Lake Erie Monsters as the Inside Edge continues on 97.1 The Fan. If you don't wait for that part, it's just not worth playing it, right?
That's right. You nailed it, Bob.
If you're not going to wait for the drums to come in, just forget about it. Just walk.
Walk away.
As Sean Tortorella would say, I'll walk. Welcome back to the Inside Edge, Bob McKelligan.
You guys are buddies, eh?
Jody
you and Shelley.
I don't know.
You've really developed a good relationship. Yeah, you have.
What I was going to say is I'm not going to lie to you. I really enjoy it. I enjoy talking to him, getting his perspective on things because, I thought I was nuts for years, and a lot of people still think I am, right? But a lot of the things that I would say and I would think in my head, and then other people would be like, you're an absolute idiot. This guy walks in and says the same stuff. And I'm like, well, there it's verified. He's got a Stanley Cup ring. It's verified right there.
You were right all along.
Yeah, right.
No, but you guys do the game day interview. You interview him game day for your broadcast every night. And I just love the back and forth because now what? He's turned you down on a couple occasions? Is he giving you a cold shoulder?
Now, the other day he asked and he was, he asked if I would do an assistant coach. And I just said, oh, I'll just get it out of the whole big media thing. And then he thought that I was thought I was mad at him, I guess. So
you turned down the assistant coach offer.
Yeah, to take him.
Because you get him all the time.
Yeah,
that's
it was a day game, and I was just looking to make it easy on everybody. The day games are everybody's there, and everything's early and moved ahead. And I just said, I'll just make it easy on everybody, and then I'm the one that got it for it. So, you know, that's okay.
But you guys are back on good terms?
We're always on good terms.
All right, that's good.
You know what? As I tell people this all the time, this is hard to understand if you're not in sports, but if somebody's not giving you the business, you probably should ask what's wrong. Because with certain people, if they're not giving it to you, you're in trouble, right?
If they don't tease you, they don't like you.
Yeah, well.
That's what I heard when I first got in the room, and I was like, what? Yeah.
And then.
So it does have a little bit of, I agree with that.
But I really enjoy.
Some people, I agree with that.
No, I really enjoy him being around, and I enjoy his candor and his being up front and just having a conversation. And while we're on that, the Blue Jackets did call up some guys today from the Lake Erie Monsters, and they brought three guys in here. Now, you knew that they would need a defenseman to come up with Dalton Prout sitting out tomorrow, so they brought up John Ramage. They'll give him an opportunity, but they also brought up a couple of forwards. Oliver Bjorkstrand gets called up for the first time this year, and Michael Chaput also gets called back up. So, you know, that starts to have you scratch your head a little bit and go, oh, where are these guys going to fit in? But earlier today, I talked with John Tortorella. Just about what I asked him was, are you looking forward to next year? And I don't mean that to slight any of the games that are left this year. But, you know, he's got this team. He started to move it in a direction, and now you're getting near the end. So I asked him if he was looking forward to next year, and this is what he had to say.
I'm not going to sit here and lie to you and say, yeah, we got 13, 14 games, and this is all I'm concentrating on. Listen, we're out. We're not going to make the playoffs this year. It sucks. So I have to, as a coach, start. I already have my camp set for next year. I have to start planning towards the real stuff. There's no pressure on us right now. Sure, they're pros, and they're going to play hard. They have, even when they've been out of the playoffs here for a little bit. They have played hard. You got a good group of guys here. But I have to start planning for what we're going to do next year and what our start's going to look like next year. You're going to see some kids come up from the minors. We need to take a look at them so we can make some assessments as far as our young kids. And quite honestly, there are some veteran guys in this club that we have to assess for next year. So there's a lot of things going on, not so much about winning that next game, but forecasting for what we're going to be next year. And certainly that's on my mind.
All right, put on your former player hat for just a minute. Ooh. And you just heard the coach say that. What goes through your head?
I'm nervous. I don't know if I'm sleeping tonight. And that's dead truth. And my summer is gut-wrenching. And I've been there. I mean, I've had summers and nights like that where it's like, am I going to play? They sign this guy. The coach likes this guy better. You go through the full gamut. And when you're on a team that's losing, I'm telling you, it's an uneasy feeling. And as a fan of this team, I love what he just said. I really do, because that's it. He just said it. He didn't – he's not trying to make things seem like something they're not. And in his eyes, that's what's happening. So I think it's a healthy thing all the way around. And they're going to assess people and see really what they have here. And in veterans, it's not easy, man. I mean, I've been listening to some conversations in Montreal and in Edmonton. And I don't know if you caught some of those conversations, but they've had the number one pick forever. And I don't know if they have a Calder Trophy winner. I don't think they have a Calder Trophy winner. And, you know, McDavid is in the conversation now, but they're having conversations with the head coach, Todd McClellan, in Edmonton, and they're saying, you know, if you look at the roster last year that ended the year and the roster this year, there's a lot of guys who thought, oh, I just need a change of scenery. Oh, I just need to get out of here. Oh, things would be different if I do so. They're not in the league anymore. They're not around because the losing teams, not a lot of people want people from losing teams, and that's the reality of where some of these guys sit. And I'm telling you, if people think that they have a few more years or I can do this elsewhere, the league is changing. And it's going young, and every organization has got different plans. So it's a scary horizon for some of these guys.
And there were some, and you're absolutely right. And I think just to touch on the Edmonton situation, to me, they had all those picks, but they didn't make any changes until just this past summer. This is when they really changed because Kevin Lowe was the GM, and he was picking those guys. And then he moves up to a president's role, and Craig McTavish, who used to be the head coach, moves in as the GM, and they bring in a head coach, and that doesn't work out. And they bring in another head coach, and that doesn't work out. And they bring in
they
were just shuffling, like taking a deck of cards. You shuffle it, and you hope to God that four aces come up, and then hey, guess what? So this year, when they went out and they made the change, and they changed the general manager, they bring people in from the outside. They bring Todd McClellan in after all the success that he had with the San Jose Sharks. Now they can bite into that and make that assessment and go, hey, guess what? This never has worked. I don't care what they were selling. They're moving into a new building. They've got the premier player in the game, Connor McDavid. They know they've got to turn it around. But they went out and got those people to start to do that. Started with Peter Chiarelli, and then they bring in Todd McClellan.
Yeah, that's – now you're changing because even the the players feel it too. I've been on teams that win, but things don't change because they don't win the Stanley Cup. Nothing's changed. Nothing's changed in those organizations. San Jose, nothing's changed.
Yep. Of these three call-ups that the Blue Jackets made today, Bjorkstrand is the one that jumps out because he had a great junior career. I like what they did with him. When he was a guy that came into training camp this year. If he steps up and knocks your socks off, he has a chance to make this team.
Yeah.
And he didn't. And they did the right thing. They sent him right to Cleveland, to the Lake Erie Monsters. Now, he got an injury there, and it kept him out for a while, so he didn't have the start that he wanted to have. And let's see, played 46 games and has 25 points, 15 goals and 10 assists in the 46 games. So,
you know what? I'm disappointed because I was so excited to hear about this kid in camp. I think we saw him in prospects camp last July. Exciting, hype, talk. And then we got to camp, and you're right. He had an opportunity to make the team. They gave him an opportunity. It was there for him, and there was conversations, we'll say, about him possibly. We'll say small conversations. And, from time to time, you hear about the American League and how they're doing, and he's been kind of a slow starter, which is fine. He had an injury he had to deal with. But disappointing from where I sit, this kid, I think he's going to be a part of this organization for a long time, but the way it sounds like his skill. I mean, he led amateur hockey in Canada in goals last year, and it's scary. But he's got to figure out the pro game, and that's Bob, you couldn't be more correct. Let him do it. That's what the American League affiliate is for, to learn the pro game. And you got to give your hats off to Yarmo and Billy on what they're doing, Billy Zito, to groom these guys and watch from close. We're here 2.5 hours. Those guys are there all the time. Chris Clark is there all the time. So this is all calculated. And listen, he's probably growing from when we've seen him in camp, obviously. And he'll grow again when we see him at prospects camp if he comes to that, and if not, training camp.
And this is an audition for him for John Tortorella. Because
first impression,
Torch wasn't here last time that he was here. Mm-hmm. So he's got a clean slate. Michael Chaput, I love what he's done the last couple of years. It's kind of I want him to make this team and be on the team all the time. You know, he's just one of those guys you root for. So I'd like to see him make the most out of any chance he might get between now and the end of the year. And maybe they're looking at him and deciding, do you re-sign him? What do you do with him? Is he going to have a place on this roster? And John Ramage, they just signed him to a 2-year, two-way contract a couple of weeks ago. So they're giving him an opportunity, which is exactly what you want from a team that's not in the playoffs in March.
I heard great things about him. Work ethic, poise. I'm excited to see him. Chaput's got to be frustrated because, you know what, he comes out of camp. He's always impressive in training camp. He has been the last 2 years. He's a guy that you sit back and you say, this guy's worked hard. He's worked on his skating, and he's worked on his skill and his speed. And it's like you're impressed with him. And then he gets a little bit of taste, and then he's down, and then he's forgotten about for a bit. So good on them to bring up Michael Chaput. And the other two guys, absolutely right. Chaput is another – he's a clean slate guy too, right, with Torch. So
yeah, he was up here briefly. You go way back to when we played in Pittsburgh a long time ago, I think.
Oh, but, he didn't play though, did he?
No, I think he did come up and didn't. But I want to say he played one or two under him. But anyway, okay. But for the most part, you're right. He's got an opportunity. Oh. I don't think the Torch disliked his game or anything. It was just kind of a numbers game there. And
yeah,
you know what I mean?
Okay.
So anyway, those guys are up, and we'll see. The lines were mixed up today in practice. Boone Jenner was playing center. Brandon Dubinsky was playing wing.
Oh, it was all over the place.
Yeah, so it was Saad. Well,
where do you think these guys fit in?
Well, I could see Bjorkstrand going on. If Dubinsky's going to stay with Wennberg, I could see Bjorkstrand going on the other side there.
So that puts Boal maybe on the fourth line?
Or maybe out, because Calvert and Bork were on the fourth line with Gregory Campbell today. So.
Right, and he's talking about veterans. And Bork doesn't have a contract, does he?
No. Carlson was with Hartnell and Foligno.
That's right.
And again, the top line, Jenner moved to the middle with Atkinson and Saad flanking.
That's another test for Boone Jenner.
Right.
Maybe with Dubinsky. Dubinsky was on the wing.
Right.
I don't think you scratch Calvert. You have two forwards, right?
Yes.
That'll be interesting.
Yeah. It'll be very interesting to see what they do. But opportunity is knocking for these guys. And the job auditions are on for the Columbus Blue Jackets here in these next couple of games. Tomorrow night's game against Detroit. Then Saturday, Sunday, back-to-back against the New Jersey Devils in the home-and-home series. Coming up next, we'll talk about the Red Wings with Mickey Redman, who is the color analyst on Fox Sports Detroit, as the Inside Edge continues on 97.1 The Fan.
You know, at the beginning, I thought I had to be wearing a smoking jacket there, but...
Oh, no, hang on.
Yeah, hang on. It's right there. Welcome back to the Inside Edge. I'm Bob McElligott, joined by Jody Shelley. Tomorrow night, the Blue Jackets take on the Detroit Red Wings here at Nationwide Arena. It'll be the third and final meeting of the year between the two teams, and they've played all three games in like 3 weeks. In fact, the Red Wings are coming in for the second time on this homestand. We're joined right now by Mickey Redman, who does the color on Fox Sports Detroit. Mickey, thanks for taking some time. We appreciate it.
Oh, anytime, guys. How are you?
Good. How are you? You enjoying Columbus tonight or what?
Actually, I'm not in Columbus. I am not doing this road trip with the team. We're going on to Florida for back-to-back, and we've got 2 days off. And 7 days is a little bit too long for me in the hotel room having to take care of my food issues. I'm a celiac, so yep. I have to cook my own food and take care of all that crazy stuff. So I'm off. I'll be watching from home, and our team is coming in tonight after flying home late last night from Philadelphia.
All right, let's talk about the Detroit Red Wings, and right now where they are. They're in a spot that, they're not normally in this spot at this time of the year. 24 straight years, they've gone to the playoffs. They're in a playoff spot right now, Mickey, but what's going on with this team that they're just clinging to that spot right now?
Well, I guess there's a couple things that would jump right out at you when you look at what's happened with this hockey club. And number one is their power play has gone from second in the league a year ago to it's in the bottom six or seven in the league now. It's only 17%. So it's really a mind buster to try to figure out why this power play has gone so far south on them, and they can't seem to get that solved. And as a result, they're not scoring a lot of goals. Only six teams have scored less goals in the whole league, and out of 30 teams. So you put that together, you're going to be right where you are, which is on the bubble. And it's a good thing that Peter Mrazek and Jimmy Howard, when he's played for the most part, coming back in, have been as good as they've been, because if they weren't, we probably wouldn't be in even a little playoff spot right now.
What about the hey, Mickey, it's Jody Shelley. How you doing, buddy?
Hey, Jody. How are you?
How about the leadership there? It's always amazing because you guys have had Yzerman, Lidstrom, and now you've got Datsyuk and Zetterberg. Now, who are they going to hand that off to, do you think? Like, because it's always someone in that organization.
Yeah, that's a good question, I think. We've been very, very fortunate to have all of those guys, all the Hall of Famers come through here in the past 15 years or so. And as you guys know, we're looking for year 25 straight to go in the playoffs. But I think, you know, I was listening to you guys earlier talk about Edmonton and the issues they're having after having all those draft choices. And personally, I think you need older veteran players on the ice and off the ice to help these young players adapt to the pro life. And without it, these kids can struggle. It's very, very tough, as you know, Jody, to adjust to life in professional sports. Coming out of a lot of these kids, I guess in my day, most of the guys were coming out of small towns in Canada. And boy, oh boy, the next thing you know, you're in a big city in the United States probably. And what do you do? Where do you go? And how do you keep control of what you're doing and what you got in front of you? So I really believe that we have been the beneficiary of having players like that. And I've had the great fortune really to experience that twice in my life, in my professional life. One when I started in Montreal in 1967 and got the great fortune to play with Jean Beliveau and Henry Richard and John Ferguson and Yvon Cornway, and it goes on and on. I mean, and then in Detroit it was Gordie Howe, Alex Delvecchio, Gary Bergman, Nick Libet. Wow. So when you've got good people around you that are good people on the ice, good people off the ice, it really helps, I think, young players to make that adjustment. Now, to try to answer your question, I don't know. I mean, we're a team that really is trying to rebuild on the fly, which is very few people can do it in today's world with a salary cap. You have to pretty much do it through the draft. We've been fortunate to have Larkin. You guys are probably going to see, I haven't got this official yet, you're probably going to see Mantha tomorrow night. He played last night in Philadelphia. And, of course, he was a big star in the Quebec League and broke his leg last year. He's a 6'5 youngster, 21 years old. Heck of a hockey player. He had a really good game in Philly last night. Hit the goal post, had another couple of chances. You're going to get a good look at him, I think, tomorrow night. And he's up because we're struggling to score, and we need everything we can get to try to get the puck in the back of the net to get some points.
It's funny you bring up struggling to score, Mickey, because after that GM meeting, one of the big topic was the change in the goalie gear. And I know you've yep. seen this game change probably four or five times at least since you started getting in with it. What do you think? Are you excited about that? I mean, the goaltending gear shrinking down so that it gives a chance to see some more of those goals go in.
Well, yeah. I mean, to me, there's some really no-brainer ideas that I would put forth. Number one, I believe that the trapezoid should come out For two reasons. Number one, because I just think it's very unfair for defensemen to be getting killed back there with forwards running them through the end wall. If Martin Brodeur and Grant Fuhr and Hextall could play the puck, God bless them. You know, good for them. They're better than other people at doing it. We changed the rule because of it, and I disagree with it. I think we'd have more chance to have more offense if we got that dang trapezoid out of there, number one. But, I mean, when you look at penalties, I think, Joe, I don't know if Jody, you and I talked about this last week, but when you have a power play, one team has a power play, and then there's coincidental minor penalties, I don't know why we don't go to 4-on-3 instead of staying at 5-on-4. I mean, they changed that rule because of Mark Messier and the Edmonton Oilers. The Oilers would be in a situation where they'd be on a power play, and they would, one of their guys would goat somebody else into a two-penalty, two guys going to the box, and it would go to 4-on-3. And I'm going, why do we penalize people for being smart?
So if
you want more offense and more scoring chances, more entertainment, more goals, then put yourself in a position to get them. Now, we had a situation the other night where the end of a game, and we pulled a goalie. And it was double minors were given out. It might even have been the Columbus game. I'm not even sure. Now, they're all running together at this point. But instead of going to, you know, a 5-on-4, which to me would have been an advantage for Detroit with less defenders on the ice, they stayed with 6-on-5 with us having the goalie out. And I was confused with the rule. I'm thinking, okay, usually you go, you know, you go a man short. But because of the double minor, they left it the way it was. And I thought, here's another one. Why do we even leave it? Like, it doesn't make any sense. There's no reason for it. I don't think, anyway. So those are two things that I would change immediately with just simple rule changes on how we call the game or how we get penalized and whether we're shorthanded or not. But getting back to the goaltending equipment, I'm all for it. I mean, I started in a day when goalies didn't wear masks, and God bless them. They stood in there when we were shooting for their heads, and Gump Worsley and Terry Sawchuk and Jacques Plante and all those guys, and Cesar Maniego. I mean, it had to be a nightmare for those guys. But you know what? They stood in there, and then the masks started to come in. We could still hurt them because the masks were right on the face. Now you can't. They don't even flinch hardly at all. But I think the equipment's just gotten way, way, way too big. An example of that, we're playing the Rangers Saturday afternoon, and a shot got deflected. Lundqvist played out of his mind. He's a great goaltender. We all know that. But his jersey's got to be, I don't know how big. It's got to be a 76. And the puck got deflected, and it didn't hit his arm. It hit the jersey. Now, you have to have a lot of loose jersey hanging on your right by your forearm for the puck to hit it and keep it out of the net. And that's exactly what happened on a slow-motion replay. And I thought, oh, my God. You know, these goalies, they're not stupid guys, boy. They're going to take advantage of every opportunity they can. Going back to Tony Esposito, who was a roommate of mine, he had webbing between the crotch of his pants that nobody saw for a long time. He had it on the catching glove. I think the equipment has to be brought into line with the size of the goalie. Obviously, with people like Ben Bishop, who's 6'7" or 6'8" in Tampa, you got to do a little different things. But, you know, some of these goalies that are normal size, you know, 6'1" or so, 6'2", they got pads that would fit a guy 6'9". So they need to get this equipment. Some of the shoulder pad stuff, I'm told, isn't even necessary for protection. And they need to get it back in line. So there is more to look at, because all these goalies do basically today is they're on their knees, puck comes over the blue line, they're on their knees, and they don't even get off their knees half the time until the puck's cleared out of the zone. So I think that would help generate more offense as well.
But, you know, they could get hurt when you start taking that padding down, Mick.
Say that again.
You know it's going to be a safety thing. Well, we got it. You know, we're going to be unprotected now.
Right? Heaven forbid that we should hurt those guys. Come on, they got to earn their money.
We're talking with Mickey Redmond of Fox Sports Detroit. Jody and I last weekend we did the Ohio High School hockey state championship game, and we actually ran across a former teammate of yours from Peterborough.
Really,
Andre Lacroix was coaching
of
the teams.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
And, what is Andre doing?
He's the head coach of that hockey team, and he had him in the in the state final, as a matter of fact.
Oh, my. What a hockey player he was. Boy, I'm telling you. He and I don't know if you guys remember the name Danny Grant.
Oh, yeah.
Danny played for Minnesota. We were in Montreal a short time together, and then we were in Detroit a short time together before he had a serious leg injury that caused him to retire. Danny was the left winger. I was the right winger, and I was younger than those two, and Lacroix was the centerman in Peterborough. And the 1 year, oh, my God, I think the three of us had 350 points among the three guys. It was unbelievable. Lacroix was a setup man, and what a winger's dream. He was unbelievable. He reminded me a lot of guys like John Rattel or Stan Mikita or Alex Delvecchio, where they would slow the play down and get defensemen slowing down, backing up, and then give it to a winger coming from behind. I mean, he was incredible. So, a lot of great memories with Andre Lacroix in Peterborough, for sure.
Yeah, he had some great stories for us,
awesome
too.
Awesome stories.
Hey, Mick, we appreciate you taking some time out of your night for us. And sorry we won't see you here tomorrow night, but we'll look forward to seeing you in the near future.
Well, I'll be watching it. I was listening to you guys earlier, and I decided I should look up, because I wasn't quite sure of Jody's statistics, and I said, looked up the numbers, and I said, you know what? This guy spent over a day in the penalty box, 1,538 minutes.
Too long, Mickey.
I love your story, by the way, of reaching out of the bench and pulling somebody off a guy.
Good teammate, right?
I had the great fortune to be here in Detroit on the microphone when we had Joey Koser and Bob Probert and all those good days when it was Rock'em Sock'em. And I'll tell you what, Jody, you came to play, and it was fun to watch you guys. I missed that in the game today, I'll tell you that.
Thanks, Mickey. I thought that was a good team play. I was being a good teammate, helping him out.
Absolutely.
there was a day you would get a raise for doing that.
It'll never
go
away in my mind. I'll tell you right now.
Yeah, I tell you.
All right, Mick, thanks so much. We appreciate it.
Have a great night, you guys. I'll be watching tomorrow, and hopefully we'll just have a really good hockey game, and we'll take her from there. See you
all
guys.
Right. Thank you. Mickey Redmond of Fox Sports Detroit, former Montreal Canadian, former Detroit Red Wing as well.
We should have him on for a whole show. Yeah, he's fantastic.
Need to get more guys like that.
Listen. Hockey is what it is now because of guys like Mickey Redmond, and the people have the respect for the game because of the old-time players. They just world-class guys, and you know what's the best part about them? And I said this to Andre Lacroix the other day. They've got the best stories, and they remember every single one of them, and they appreciate every time they tell them.
Absolutely. The eyes light up, and it's fun. You can hear it. With his stories,
people.
You can hear it. Fantastic. So thanks to Mickey Redmond for joining us tonight. We'll be back to wrap up the Inside Edge on 97.1 The Fan. Getting ready to put the wraps on this week's edition of the Inside Edge. I'm Bob McElligott alongside of Jody Shelley. Blue Jackets at home tomorrow night, 7 o'clock. They take on the Detroit Red Wings at Nationwide Arena. Then they're home on Saturday night to play the New Jersey Devils and turn around with a quick back-to-back in New Jersey on Sunday. So that's going
to
be
5 o'clock
that's
Sunday?
That's 5 o'clock Sunday, yeah. Yep. So that's even more of a challenge on Sunday against the New Jersey Devils, who, they're a team that they were overachieving. Now they're probably where they should be.
Yeah, I agree with that.
So the Philadelphia Flyers are the team that's trying to make noise. They're only 1 point behind the Detroit Red Wings.
Yep.
So tomorrow's game for Detroit is huge.
Huge last night.
Yeah.
I mean,
absolutely.
And Philly played really well.
Yeah, they lost to the Flyers last night, and then go back a couple of days earlier when Toronto shut out Detroit.
Right.
1-0.
Yeah.
Couple of huge losses there for the Red Wings, who are trying to make it back into the playoffs. We only have a couple of minutes, but we started to talk about the general managers making some tweaks to the rules next year, and they are going to shrink goalie equipment, and that has the potential to change a lot, doesn't it?
Oh, it does. It really does. I mean, next year they're talking about upper body, so the chest protector is going to be shrunk, and the arms on the players more form fitting. The pants, the jersey. Mickey was just talking about the jersey of Lundqvist. The jersey is going to be more form-fitting. And then the pants is a big deal, Bob. Those pants, and your son Matthew is a goaltender, so you're the father of a goaltender, so you understand the value of having big pants. Those players, they can wear, I mean, it's almost like a barrel they wear around them.
Right.
And those are going to be more form-fitting. I think that's a huge deal.
Yeah, that's going to be, because somebody told me, they said, look, when you get the biggest pants you can get the biggest chest protector you can get, and get a nice big jersey. And, yeah, that's how you – I mean, if you can do it, that's what you do. You take advantage of
but
it.
But think about Korpisalo. He's a skinny guy.
Yes, he is.
He's 21 years old. He's going to grow. But right now, when he has his equipment on and when he takes it off, you're like,
Was that you in that equipment?
You're right. Same with Bobrovsky.
They're slight guys. And I'm just wondering the effect it's going to have on the Blue Jackets goaltending.
And not only the Blue Jackets, but everybody else. But, yes, we're concerned about that. But it's going to be, yeah.
And we got guys that are, I mean, they're quick.
Yep.
They're going to be, I think our guys are going to be fine. But mentally, they've got to get used to that, too. That's asking a lot of players that have played a long time.
Well, not only that.
Isn't it?
Yes, it is, because goalies are notorious for having what they like and customizing their own gear.
I can't believe they agreed
to
this.
And they get, now I know Corposalo, because we had this conversation, he's pretty much gets his stuff and goes with what he has, but a guy like Curtis McElhaney, he's messing with his stuff all the time. You know, what? Not just advantages, but I'm comfortable with this, and I want this roll on the knee, and I want the, you know, so they are... They are creatures of habit, and their habits are going to be forced to change.
Well, just think, it's equipment. So put yourself in those shoes. You've always used that glove or that whatever you use, your golf clubs, and now we're changing.
I need to change my golf clubs. That's a bad example.
Me too.
They don't work.
They need a rinse in the bottom of the lake.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. So that's something we'll watch and we'll talk about here. As we go along,
it's going to be fascinating. I think it's going to be fascinating. They want it done and ready for the World Cup.
Absolutely. So that's the agenda. Thanks to Mickey Redmond for being on the show with us tonight. We'll see you tomorrow at Nationwide Arena, 7 o'clock. Blue Jackets will take on the Detroit Red Wings. Until then, for Jody Shelley, I'm Bob McElligott saying so long, and thank you for listening to The Inside Edge on 97.1 The Fan.
This has been The Inside Edge with Jody Shelley and Bob McElligott.
And I got two words for you. Game over.
Brought to you by Nationwide, AEP, and Ohio Health. March with us.
On your flagship station for the Columbus Blue Jackets, Sports Radio 97.1 The Fan.